Weekly Pulse on all things green and gold, entering the final week of the NFL regular season. It's Weekly Wildy. That's three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wildy. I'm Alex Strofe, hanging out with you from downtown Milwaukee ahead of Packers-Bears on Sunday, the regular season finale. So admittedly, I take a lot of time off around the holidays, Jason. I have not been at work since you and I talked last Thursday, with exception to Green Bay game day. So I have not talked about the Packers-Vikings game with a microphone yet. You were right the whole time, man. Like, that's the irritating part to me. It's back in July at Summerfest, you've referenced this a ton. You said, this team could be better, look better, have a better record than they did a year ago, but not get as far as they did in the postseason last year. And after what we saw Sunday between the Packers and the Vikings, I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen. So well done, but you're irritating.
Thank you. Great to be with you. Thanks for working for once. Appreciate that. I don't take joy in that. Like, they're going to be 12-5. That is a 3-game improvement over last year, and yet because of what the Vikings did, which no one saw coming, and what the Lions have done, which we mostly saw coming despite their injuries, they're going to still be the 7th seed. Like, I don't think Mike McCarthy and that skeleton crew of Cowboys are going to be able to beat the Commanders, especially with Dan Quinn coming out and saying in no uncertain terms, quote, we're going to fight like hell for the 6th seed. So now you're talking about going to Philly. And look, you played them to start the season. You're going to play them, what, October, November, December, January, 4 months after you played them the first time. You're both different teams. Could they go to Philly and win? Sure. Do I think they're going to? No, I don't. And so they will have been a better team. They will have had a better record. They will have wound up in the, unbelievably, have found their way into the same final seed. And by the way, if somehow they do beat the Eagles, then they have to face the number one seed coming off a bye the next week. So, again, is it impossible? Is it a 0% chance, as Homer likes to say, that they could beat Philly, Minnesota/Detroit, and theoretically then Detroit/Minnesota, and have the three teams that they lost to all season be the three teams they beat to get to New Orleans for Super Bowl 49-59? Sure, that could happen. Is that likely to happen? I think we can all agree no. And so I take no joy in that. But look, if we're going to say how right I turned out to be on this season, we also have to say how wrong I was about the previous year when I said they were going to be 6-11, and instead they were 9-8, and they made the playoffs. But I will say this, and I brought this up to LaFleur and Love yesterday. Like, they were teetering last year on maybe not being the Bears by any means, but they were teetering on a spiral of their own. And the Bears have not pulled themselves out of it with a first-year starting quarterback, obviously a rookie as opposed to Love. But credit to Matt LaFleur. I think when you look at some of these other teams in the league this year who just kept going down, 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 it says something that he was able to get them out of that tailspin last year and be able to make the playoffs, because they could have very easily been 6-11, as I predicted.
Totally. And I think something a lot of people forget from that team a year ago, I mean, it is, I don't know how many times it's happened in NFL history. We'd have to get Rob Domofsky's ESPN researchers on this, but a team losing 4 games in a row, winning 4 games in a row, and winning a playoff game all in the same season. I imagine that has not happened a ton. So that was, it was quite a journey a year ago. Now this year, look, I don't want to say it's impossible, because as you know me, Jason, and you know me so well, when you and I talk next week ahead of likely Packers-Eagles, I will likely by then have found a way to convince myself the Packers will go on the road and win. You know me. That's just how I operate. I don't want to say it's impossible. Obviously, I don't love their chances in Philly. But on that note, I just want to ask, in your mind, it's a bona fide lock. It'll be Packers 7 seed, Commanders 6 seed. As the Commanders, they own the tiebreaker. The two teams have the same record. Commanders play at Dallas on Sunday. With a win there, obviously, they lock up the sixth seed. If they lose and the Packers beat the Bears, then they would flip-flop once again. But you feel pretty confident in saying it'll be the Packers as the seventh seed?
Well, again, I think Mike McCarthy's team did a great job of beating Tampa Bay with nothing to play for. But now they've shut down CeeDee Lamb. They've released their running back,
Ezekiel Elliott.
No. I mean, they're running out of players, man. They're at home, so I guess it's possible. And look, those guys play for Mike. Like, say what you want about Mike as a coach, and Lord knows plenty of Packers fans have said what they think. But, his guys play for him. They play hard. They got run out of the gym last week, but they've got pride. But I just don't see them rising up with what they've got left and beating a team that has made it very clear that they are going to play their guys and they're playing to win because they want to have that number six seed. Now, here's the question I have. And Matt LaFleur got on my nerves yesterday a little bit, which is fair because I'm sure I get on his nerves all the time.
Oh, I can guarantee you do, yes.
But, how do you weigh the pros and cons was the question I asked. And he gave this answer about how, and I think it's his irritation with the fact that he feels like maybe you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But, he was like, whatever you do, as long as it works, you made the right decision. Well, that's not how decisions work, though. Because you don't know how they're going to play out once you make the decision. And so I wouldn't be surprised if there's some scoreboard checking. And if the Commanders are up, 24-10 or whatever it might be at halftime. Because the games are at the same time, right? They're not.
Yep.
It's not like the Packers get to play after the Commanders, Cowboys, and know if they have a chance of the sixth seed or not. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw Malik Willis and Malik Heath and Bo Melton and Emmanuel Wilson and the rest of those guys sometime in the second half if it's become clear. Now, at the same time, Matt LaFleur did bring this up, that in 2021, he tried to take this kind of half measure of play your guys in the first half, take them out, then you got the bye, and then they got beat by the 49ers. And he's like, if you get criticized then, well, I don't think you lost to the 49ers because your starters didn't play in the second half. I don't. So you played like garbage, and I think that was just how things played out. So again, I don't know what he's going to do, but I do not. I expect Packers-Eagles Sunday next week on the 12th. In Philadelphia at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yep, I totally agree with you, but we will see. We'll preview a little bit more of the Bears game here in a bit, Jason. I'm just curious for you. A, I don't think we can learn much from this game, but it can serve as a get-right game following last week's loss to Minnesota. I get Chicago's not a playoff team. I get they're not very good. I get they've gone through all sorts of turmoil here in 2024/2025. But a get right game is really all I can get out of this in my head. Am I missing anything?
No, I mean, get out, get right, and get out without further injury, right? Mm-hmm. Like, look, the other part of the injury thing, and Matt LaFleur did reference this yesterday. Like, Quay Walker, Christian Watson, Evan Williams. I mean, they do have a bunch of guys that will. If it was a playoff game, I'm sure they would push to play. But since it's not, they're not going to play them. That would be stupid.
Right.
So, they're going to be sitting some guys anyway. So at least that is kind of a part of the equation. But again, I don't know. I don't know what comes out of this other than the fact that, to your point about get right, LaFleur was clearly not happy with the way they played Minnesota. He called it sloppy. So I think what he wants to see is for them to be crisp and execute well against a inferior opponent that has lost 10 in a row, and then get out and make sure, wouldn't it be terrible if you No, Josh Jacobs was just named to the Pro Bowl. He's had a great season. Like, do you really want to risk having him out there? And you know, all it takes is one tackle that causes him to turn an ankle, and now you got to play in Philly against Saquon and that crew without him.
Right.
So, how much getting right is valuable, and how much are you willing to play guys in hopes of getting right? That's a tough question. And to that point, Matt LaFleur is right, because if he keeps a guy in too long and he gets hurt, I and many others are going to crush him for it.
Yeah, rightfully so. And that's the tightrope act he's working with right now, right? I mean, this is a really unique spot when you know you're going on the road in 2 weeks, right? Nothing's changing there here in this final week of the regular season. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't know how I would go about making decisions. I don't know how he'll go about making decisions. I know some of the decisions, like not kicking a field goal when you're in Minnesota territory, have been crushed the last week. So we'll see. At least on the playing the right guys. It was a joke, but if you want to respond on that,
well, I talked to Jordan about it yesterday because you know that was like a Rorschach test for Packers fans. Was it Jordan's fault? Well, I'm a Jordan guy, so it must have been Reed's fault. I'm a Jordan kind of doubter, so it must have been Jordan's fault. And I said, look, I'm not going to write this. I just want to know, like, is that the quarterback needs to make a better throw or the receiver needs to catch it? I'm sure you would both say you both need to do better.
Right.
He's like, no, I didn't put it where I wanted it. Like, that ball needs to be on him, not out in front of him. So for Jordan Love doesn't need you to defend him. Jordan's got it. And Jordan's big enough that, you know, unlike some others, Jordan is able to say, no, I didn't put that ball where it needed to be. It needed to be right on him instead of out in front of him. Now, should Jaden Reed still catch that football?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Is it easier to catch it if Jordan Love puts the ball where he wants to put it?
Also, yes.
Also, yes. So, look, I don't have a problem with that call. I think he's thinking we're going to be in a shootout. We need more than just 3 points here. We're in a great position. It's 4th and 2. And oh, by the way, the dude was open. Right? So you execute that, probably go in and score a touchdown. You don't have your running back who hadn't fumbled since week 2, who now has fumbled twice in 3 weeks, lose a fumble. Like, those are the types of things that good teams do, great teams don't. And those were both things that a good team did and ended up losing the game.
Yep. And things good teams do versus great teams do. Great teams win Super Bowls. Good teams don't. And I'm at the point where, I mean, look, we have no evidence to call the Packers a great team this season, which is okay. But anything's possible, as Kevin Garnett once famously said. But this is going to be a very tough road here in the postseason. So we will see on that. You mentioned the injury report. Zane Anderson, Evan Williams, Christian Watson, Quay Walker, Brenton Cox Jr., and Jair Alexander, all technical, did not practice as they went through a walkthrough Wednesday. You mentioned all those guys won't play, and we definitely know Jair Alexander will not play. The news coming up Tuesday, or Wednesday rather, that Jair Alexander, operation on his knee, done for the season more than likely. What do you know on the latest? What's your reaction to the Jair Alexander saga that has been continually ongoing here in 2024 and now into the new year of 2025?
Yeah, speaking of irritating Matt LaFleur, then I irritated him with my follow-up to that because I said, you know, looking back now, you know, are you sitting there going, well, I wish we would have done this scope right away, and that way maybe he'd be available by now. And, you know, he kind of gave me the I live in the present, not in the past, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, again, my question is, how effectively were all these things communicated throughout the process, right? Like, one of the things that Jair had said was that after last year, he was much more in good communication with Goody and LaFleur and his coaches, and he loved the strength and conditioning staff and the medical staff. And so, like, how the hell did he end up playing in that Chicago game? And again, the way, you know, Matt LaFleur's frustration could be felt when questions would come up, it was like David Bakhtiari 2, Electric Boogaloo all over again. And so that leads to, and I've said this a bunch on all of our shows, like, in the absence of information, conjecture fills the vacuum. And so there's a lot of Packers fans who are like, this guy won't play hurt and whatever else. And look, I'm part of that too. Because based on Matt LaFleur's behavior, how could you not draw that conclusion? And so now he's had a surgery, and now you're like, okay, it was to relieve swelling. It was an arthroscopic procedure, so it wasn't as invasive as what David Bakhtiari ended up undergoing. But, you know, then the question is that potentially your road in the playoffs. Now, let's even say there's a chance that they are able to avoid the 7th seed. The Rams, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Lions, what do they all have in common? They all have a bunch of really, really good wide receiver tandems or trios. Would you much rather have Jaire Alexander covering some of those people instead of Eric Stokes, who has played better of late? No doubt you would. So, again, was this mismanaged? Was there a lack of communication? What exactly transpired here? I don't know. But the bottom line is you're going to be without Jaire in the postseason. Maybe he's back for his birthday on Super Bowl Sunday, I suppose. But the reality is that's probably not happening for either the team playing in the game or him playing in it if the team is there. And beyond that, now the question obviously becomes, has he played his last down as a Packer? And Brian Gutekunst's track record would indicate he's not real interested in guys who are not durable. See Jones, Aaron. And if you look at Jaire Alexander, they've played 68 regular season games the last 4 years. He's played in 34, and he's missed 34. A 50% participation rate is not ideal. So probably not likely that he's going to be out there.
I don't know how much you've looked into the cap implications, and I don't want to get too into the details, but is it feasible to move on from him this offseason?
Yes, they would actually save $6 million in cap space. He's set to count $25 million against the cap. His dead cap number would be 19.
Oh. Well, I think that answers that question. It's unfortunate, man, right? And you called it, you know, David Bakhtiari 2, Electric Boogaloo. Shout out to Breaking 2.
Stick to your day job. That'd be my advice for you.
Wait, dancing is my day job.
Oh, wait, didn't know that about you. Look, it just sucks, right? Like, there's no other way around it, because you dealt with it with Bakhtiari, you're dealing with it now with Jaire, and have been dealing with it for the last few years with Jaire. These are great players, right? We're not talking about average starters in the NFL. We're talking, and we'll talk about the Pro Bowl in a moment, but we're talking about Pro Bowl level, all-pro level players that just can't get over the injury. And David Bakhtiari, it always felt like that situation at least had some more clarity. You knew what the injury was. You knew it was coming back up. You knew the knee was messed up. With Jaire, I never felt like we had a ton of clarity as to what the issue was, right? Last year, I know there was back injuries. This year, it was vaguely knee injuries. And then eventually he told reporters that I think it was a PCL. Is that right, Jason?
Yes, PCL. But again, like, if it – and that's part of the problem, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, Rob Domofsky had, from a source, which I'm sure was Jaire's agent at the time, after the game against Jacksonville in which he hobbled off, that there was no structural damage. So, wait, there wasn't or there was? Like, look, you're only as good as your sources. I'm sure Rob's source was very good. So either that person was misinformed or they didn't discover it right away, whatever it might have been. Right. The disappointment here is that last year there were reasons to wonder how hurt he was versus how unhappy he was,
yes.
Right? Obviously, he was not a Joe Barry fan. This year, everything was coming up roses. He had the pick six in Nashville, right? Xavier McKinney had been a very positive influence on him. He liked Jeff Hafley a lot better. He liked Derek Ansley better. Like, there was a palpable. You know, he told Rob Domofsky, you know, maybe I needed to get suspended last year to get my act together. Like, it was different. And so that's why, and again, I understand, you know, injury information is a difficult thing. But if this was an issue the whole time and he was trying to get back and couldn't, then the fact that it painted a picture that this was a rerun of last year really sucks. Because let's be honest, it wasn't a rerun of last year. If he's undergoing surgery, it's like no one is going so far to sell the bluff to then undergo surgery to convince you that I had a real injury, right? Like, I don't think that happens. You know, I don't even know. Za'Darius Smith, I don't know if he ever actually had surgery on his back. There were reports that he had. But back in 21, there were people that wondered about him too, right?
Yeah.
So the bottom line is that it sucks because it felt like the old Jair was back after four or five games. And now it has turned out to be the same scenario as last year, minus the suspension. And it's not the same scenario, but it feels like it.
It's really well said by you, Mr. Wilde. Let's talk about the Pro Bowl. And before we talk about the idea that Rashawn Gary is a Pro Bowler, I saw you just tweeted this out from Elgton Jenkins, the Packers left guard, who is a first alternate as an offensive lineman in the NFC. He tweeted the poop emoji, meaning a cuss word, is getting weirder and weirder. How do you read into that? Is that him talking about being snubbed from the Pro Bowl?
No idea. I never assume. So I just put my own spin on it and said it was weird that he didn't make the Pro Bowl. Now, I had a buddy send me a tidbit that said that he was ranked 40th by Pro Football Focus out of 75 guards.
Oh.
Okay. And maybe Pro Football Focus. Like, again, I'm not always sure exactly how that is supposed to work. Also, Josh Myers is an alternate, and he was 38th out of 41 centers.
There you go.
So, again, whatever. Speaking of stuff getting weirder and weirder, like, I don't understand, given his productivity or lack thereof, where does Rashawn Gary's selection come from?
Are you looking for answers? Because I don't have them.
So, again, look, it's... I am not, I've never been a fan of the, like, I know that players don't, they're not making extensive efforts to figure out whether this guy should be voted in or not.
Right.
There's a famous story about Mike Flanagan, the Packers player rep, years and years and years ago, basically trying to issue an edict that they vote for all really bad players, so it would increase the chances of their own players getting into the Pro Bowl. So vote for completely undeserving guys to keep a vote off of all the guys that were deserving. So how hard do players look into this before they vote? I don't think very much. Coaches, maybe more so. Fans, certainly not. So, you know, to me, the award that matters is the all-pro voting. Yeah. That's usually a much better indicator of how good a player has or hasn't been.
Well, three Pro Bowl selections for the Packers. Free agent pickup safety, Xavier McKinney. Free agent pickup running back, Josh Jacobs. And first round pick, Rashawn Gary. The three selections into the Pro Bowl for the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, that one makes no sense to me. Because we've, obviously, we are very locked in on the Packers, given that it is our job to be. But we've talked, I mean, on this show specifically, but as well as Wilde and Tausch and KBN and Green Bay Game Day, all the shows you and I are part of, Jason. He's been really disappointing for the most part of this year. He's been better the last few weeks, but all in all, he has had a really rough transition to this Jeff Hafley defense. And he gets awarded with a Pro Bowl. So congratulations to him, and hopefully this sparks all-pro worthy play for him the rest of the season and into next year. But that one is that one's unique. What is the voting process these days? Because I know, like, I was sitting at the tavern a few weeks ago filling it out. I know fans can vote on it. You know, like on NFL.com, but
don't drink and vote.
Hey, look, just for what it's worth though, Jason, I will tell you, I did not vote for Rashawn Gary.
Look, I don't want to run down Rashawn Gary, right? Like, good for him. Like,
sure.
You know, you could argue that the year that he tore his ACL, he was on track to deserve being voted in the Pro Bowl.
I would
right?
agree.
So,
yep.
You know, the if you want to sum up the Pro Bowl voting with Homer's tweet, Rashawn Gary is in the Pro Bowl. Is there another Rashawn Gary in the league? No, there is not. But if you want to sum up the Pro Bowl voting, which is one-third fans, one-third players, one-third coaches.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you for the insight.
Jeff Saturday was elected to the Pro Bowl in his one season with the
That's
Packers.
That's right.
After he'd been benched by the Packers.
Yeah, Evan Dietrich Smith. Is that right?
Indeed. Who then later became just Evan Smith. He dropped the Dietrich. So it's a strange deal. So again, let's focus on the two guys that were undeniably deserving. And if Goody Stan Mark Tauscher were here, he would say Goody, the Gootinator strikes again.
Sure
I mean,
thing.
Look, there is no denying that the two free agent signings that they had were out frickin' standing. And there, you know, as much as I love Aaron Jones and as much as I enjoyed our hug in the Vikings locker room after the game on Sunday, it was a little unexpected, but I love the guy. He is, and you saw how much everyone else loves him too. Matt LaFleur on down, right? Josh Jacobs has been an upgrade. He has. There's no denying it. And it pains me to say that, but look, Josh Jacobs, I was talking to Aaron Jones about him. Like I said, look, Jacobs has been great, but we still miss you, right? From reporter standpoint, obviously teammates. And he's like, yeah, Josh is great though, man. Like he really is. And he is. There's no denying it. So he crushed those. Those are not home runs. Those are two grand slams.
Without a doubt. Well said. Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. I mean, you and I were recording, I think, Mr. Irrelevant, the day of free agency. And when the Josh Jacobs news came through, we were still live when there was that tiny sliver of time where we thought it would be a 1-2 punch between Jacobs and Jones. Alternate universe, man, that exists. And I'd be curious to see what that looks like. But anyway. All right, last couple things for you, Jason, before we let you go on this Thursday ahead of Packers-Bears. We probably won't see Jordan Love the entirety of Week 18 if I was a gambling man.
I would agree.
I would guess we probably don't see an entire game out of him. That said, it's probably time to reflect on year two as Jordan Love for Jordan Love as a starter. It was an up-and-down year, right? Injuries, a lot of interceptions early, but seems to have turned it on as of late. How do you sum up year two regular season for Jordan Love as the Packers starter?
Well, again, I'm not here to take victory laps, even though Tausch likes to think that I like those.
You do like
them. But what did we talk about in the trailer at Summerfest about him? All of these defensive coordinators now have 19 games of film of him, and now they have a better idea of how to defend him. Now, is that the only reason why he's had some ups and downs in year two? No, he was hurt, right? I mean, he did not play healthy for a good chunk of the season, and he missed 2.5 games. And you could see that. Did he take more risks as he was kind of feeling himself out as a second-year quarterback? He did that as well. Look, the guy's a good to very good quarterback. He is not a top five quarterback yet, right? And if Sam Darnold's name was Sam Stroh or something else, we would be talking about what a great season he had. But instead, because we have this picture of Sam Darnold, we think, well, Jordan Love's better than him.
Mm-hmm.
Not this year.
Mm-mm.
Now, if you told me I get to choose between one or the other as my quarterback for the next 5 years, I'm picking Jordan Love. But it is a process. It is a process. It is a process. And he is in that process. And there have been some ups and downs by his own admission. Look, he didn't play well in the Vikings game. Certainly not to his own standard. And again, he doesn't need us to sit here and make excuses for him. He didn't play as well as he needed to play. But do I think that his future is still extremely bright and that he will, but like, no, the fact that we went into the season with some people projecting him as the MVP, I mean, where is the credibility and the responsibility for your predictions, right? Like, if you get carried away, you should get called out on it later. And he has had a good season. Not as good as last year, not as good as the second half of last year. He is still a rising elite level potential quarterback, but he hasn't arrived yet. And maybe next year is the year he arrives. But let's just call him what he is, which is a very good young quarterback who still has a lot in front of him. And there's nothing wrong with him being that.
Well said. I believe I picked Kyler Murray as my dark horse MVP candidate. So that tells you all you need to know about my credibility, probably.
Oh, I didn't need you to tell me that to know about your credibility.
It's Packers-Bears, Sunday noon at Lambeau Field. Packers win, Commanders loss at Dallas means the Packers get the sixth seed. But if the Commanders win in Dallas, the Packers have locked in for the second year in a row as the seventh seed in the NFC playoffs, meaning they would go to Philadelphia. We will continue to do this program as long as the Packers are alive. So we have at least two more weeks, but hopefully longer. We'll see if the Packers can make a run in the postseason. Jason, enjoy the final week of the regular season. Enjoy the final home game at Lambeau Field. And we will be talking to you ahead of Wild Card Weekend next Thursday here on Weekly Wildy. Thanks, buddy.
I think we should do it all the way through the Super Bowl.
All right, deal. We can do that. I do have this room reserved through the Thursday after the Super Bowl. So you got a deal.
Oh, we got to make sure you work.
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah, accountability and more work. That's what I need, no doubt.
This has been really fun. We're going to keep doing it for as long as we can. But thanks for inviting me to Sandy Max's Zoom call every week.
That is so inside baseball. I love it. All right, it's Weekly Wildy. We'll talk to you next Thursday right here on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel and 1430 ESPN Beaverdam.